America honors 250 years of independence this year, and on the one hand, we've seen unparalleled celebrations. On the other hand, there are many young people, many young Americans who are not necessarily happy about our nation, and there's also many who are very ignorant about our government, our forms of government. There are many who clamor for socialism or communism, not realizing how terrible full-scale communism can be. Communism never allows for religious freedom, and yet in a very real sense, America began primarily for religious freedom. First Liberty Institute, based in the greater Dallas area, fights for our first freedom, which is religious liberty. And now they're beginning to help develop civics education to help educate the nation about our God-given rights and responsibilities. Hunter Baker of First Liberty joins us to discuss this new push. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Hunter, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, first of all, why don't you start with a global statement about how important it is for Americans to realize what we have in America, and that includes religious freedom, which one could argue is almost kind of like the linchpin of all the other freedoms. You remove religious freedom, and then you lose these other freedoms. You show me a place where there's full religious liberty, I'll show you a place where there's full speech rights.
I think you're right about that. I mean, it occurs to me that if you believe in religious liberty, then you naturally, you necessarily believe in the idea of limited government, because you have accepted the idea that the government doesn't control everything. It's the government is not lord of the conscience, for example. The government is not in control of your worship of God. And so that means that the government's rule is not comprehensive. There's a place, you know, you think about the parable about Caesar's coin. Christ clearly indicates that there's a place for Caesar. There's a place for the government. But Caesar doesn't control everything that God controls. And so religious liberty acknowledges that fact. Now, you talked about the United States and its special place. We went through this period where there was all this talk about a Project 1619 or the 1619 Project focused on this sort of trying to give the United States a slavery identity. I personally think that we should have a Project 1989, which relates to the fall of the Berlin Wall. Let's think about what the United States has contributed to the world, which is to say, I would argue that in the 20th century, the United States made the decisive contribution toward the defeat of totalitarianism in its fascist and communist varieties.
Wow, that is so true. You know, isn't it fascinating when you look at the whole issue of the borders and the borders crisis? What's at issue? What's at play there? Well, lots of people want to come to the United States. When you had the failed Soviet Union and its satellite nations, for example, in Eastern Europe, including where Berlin was, the East Berlin and the Berlin Wall, the purpose there was to keep people from leaving the communist countries. They would even kill people at Checkpoint Charlie if you tried to escape. Now imagine that. We build walls to try and, you know, help make it so that, you know, entrance into the United States is legal and proper and so forth. They build walls to keep their own citizens inside from escaping.
Oh, that's exactly right. The Soviets and their satellite nations never had anything like an immigration crisis, and it's easy to see why.
Okay, so tell us about civics education. First of all, didn't civics education, it used to be, you know, ubiquitous in America?
Yeah, I think that people of my generation, I'm 55, grew up squarely during the period of the Cold War. I think that there was a really strong effort made to help people of my generation and probably the surrounding generations to appreciate what made the United States different. Why was the United States worth protecting? Why was it better than the Soviet Union or the Nazis before them? And so I think that a lot of effort was made to kind of help us to appreciate what we had. But what happened is that we have de-emphasized civics education in the United States. I think that we have made a major push to teach students how to read or how to do math, but we have stopped emphasizing how important it is as an American citizen to understand the American government, to understand how it works, to understand why the Constitution is unique and special, and it is, and to understand why we should love the country that we have.
Do you think people did that deliberately, or was it just a matter of, well, hey, you know, you take something for granted until you lose it. Then when you realize, oh, my goodness, you know, freedom is worth preserving, it's worth fighting for, it's worth standing up for, et cetera. Why did they dethrone civics, if you will, in the schools?
I think that after we won the Cold War, I think that we just became comfortable. I think that we stopped seeing the United States as involved in this sort of global struggle for freedom. And in our comfort, we stopped worrying about the things that we actually need to tend to.
All right. Now, a couple of years ago, and this is truth. I mean, I can't believe this, but a couple of years ago, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who wields a lot of power now as a congressperson, you know, from New York, the state of New York, and she was asked, you know, what, you know, please name the three branches of government. And she said the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. She left out,
right. You
know, you should say Congress, which comprises both the House of Representatives and the Senate, and then add to it the judiciary. Now, I don't think she was joking, but I'm thinking, wow, how could a person get elected to Congress that doesn't even know, you know, a basic fact of civics like that?
I think it's extremely common that even people who are elected to major positions do not understand our Constitution and our system of government. I think that could be reflected in a lot of what we see left and right, actually, where people think that certain things could be done via executive order. Joe Biden, for example, kept trying to forgive student loans via executive order when the student loan program was based on an act of Congress. It just doesn't work that way. I just think that we have moved into kind of a pure power politics. We want something, and therefore it should happen without really respecting the delicate mechanisms of checks and balances and separation of power that the founders envisioned.
Okay, tell us about First Liberty's plan to have more civics education.
Well, I honestly think of it as something like a Manhattan Project for civics. The idea that we need to find a way to completely revamp what we're doing. So the first project is kind of we're working on a high school curriculum for civics, but I anticipate much more. I anticipate kind of a moonshot approach to bringing civics back to the fore and just to people to think through what does it mean to be an American? What's special about the United States? What is it that we want to preserve? What is it that we want to foster? Not only what kind of mechanisms do we need, what kind of institutions, but what kind of a people do we need to be? Not only how do we see our freedoms, but how do we see our responsibilities and our duties? How do all these things relate? We just need a massive tsunami of civics work and civics content, and we are just embarking upon that quest.
So theoretically, if you succeed, how would this work? I mean, would this be enrolled in homeschools, in Christian schools, in hopefully public schools, whatever? How would you succeed?
Sure. So my hope is certainly that we will get into the Christian schools and the homeschools and the classical schools. I think those will be the most receptive places. But I definitely want to impact public education. And I really want to do content that's just for the broader public. I think that we need to not just look at the schools, but we need to look at our entire citizenry and kind of bringing this issue to the top. if you want to think about what are the problems that we have in the United States, I would argue that civics and thinking about civics is one of the absolute best things that we could do for the country.
Where does religious liberty fit into that equation?
Well, you mentioned it earlier. Religious liberty is kind of the cornerstone. And we have a country where a lot of people don't respect religious liberty. A lot of people have accepted this narrative post-Obergefell that religious liberty is nothing more than a pretext for discrimination or something like that. But in reality, religious liberty is critical in our Constitution, not only because it protects our freedom to worship and to seek God the way that we would, but it also helps us to live together. The great John Courtney Murray, in We Hold These Truths, he talked about the idea that the religion clauses in the Constitution are articles of peace, that they help to allow Americans to live together.
Well, that's fascinating. George Washington, the father of our country, said in his farewell address, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." Our second president, John Adams, said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." Would you mind commenting on the thoughts behind those quotes?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that. So I have taught political science for decades. And one of the things that I have said to students time and again is that freedom and virtue go together. If you will not be virtuous, then you will not be free. People who cannot govern themselves are not capable of self-government. And so I think that it's absolutely correct. Those instincts, that idea that we have to build up our character and our moral fiber, and indeed our willingness to follow God, that this is critical to who we are as a people and our capacity to be free.
Boy, that's so true. I think of that PSA, a long PSA that was produced many years ago, and First Liberty, on the forefront of letting people know about it, but it was a Harvard business professor. He has since died, but he basically was talking about one of his Chinese students had come and was just shocked to see how religious people were. And he was also shocked to see the lack of, you know, cameras all over the place. Now, this is about 20 years ago or whatever. And the professor, was it Clay Christensen or something like that, was explaining.
Clayton Christensen.
Yeah. Anyway, he tell us about that PSA. It may even be on your Liberty, firstliberty.org website.
I don't know that I have seen that PSA.
It's fantastic.
Joined the organization. But I'm certainly aware of Clayton Christensen as one of the most decorated professors that Harvard has ever had.
Well, the gist of it is that exactly what you said. We can only be free if we're virtuous. And if we stop being virtuous, then we will not be free. And so we have about a minute left. What else do you want to say about this civics education so sorely needed in America today?
Well, I just want to get people interested in this idea. I think that what has happened, even in our Christian schools, I think it's very likely that if you look at who's teaching civics, it might often be just sort of the basketball teacher or the volleyball teacher. Basketball coach, volleyball coach, football coach, given to somebody as something to round out their schedule, when actually it needs to be sort of a cornerstone of the entire educational effort. We need to be focusing on civics, and we need to be doing it with the very best teachers, the very most committed people that we can find who care about this subject.
Mm. All right. Firstliberty.org for more information. Thank you, Hunter Baker. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.